do that. You got to say, whoa, stop the train. This isn't working. And what keeps us from doing that? Pride, and sometimes stubbornness, sometimes habit, sometimes it's a comfort zone. But at some point we say, whoa, wait a minute, this has got to change here. Mm-hmm. I'm going down the tube a little bit at a time, and I don't like it. Well, we're telling you how to change that.
That's right. We know that in Proverbs 18:21, and many of you know this, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you know the rest of that.
And those who eat it will love its fruit.
Yes, those who eat it will love its fruit. Also in Proverbs 8, verse 6 through 8, David has taught his son Solomon, King Solomon here, listen, for I shall speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will produce right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. Now, Darren, when we begin to speak the word, we can confidently believe that everything that comes out of our mouth is in righteousness. That's a blessing to know that.
I talk about my dad's garden quite often, as he was a master gardener. But, you know, he didn't have, of course, he got the weeds out of there. But he loved tomatoes. He always had tomatoes. If he got to a new location and time, why, he'd be planting potatoes and beets and radishes and all that stuff. Well, he had only what he planted in that garden. Now, one of the most, in the days of great embarrassment, and introduce all of you to this at this moment, when you realize what you have today and you look around and you say, well, let's look at my finances, look at the health of the family, let's look at my career or lack of it. It's all because of seeds I planted, whether I planted them consciously, knowingly, subconsciously, or whatever. The garden I have in my life is as a result of my planting.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't plant it, who did? Well, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. New Testament talks about the sower goes forth to sow, but sometimes an enemy came and sowed tares in the field. Well, that enemy is Satan. He's going to come in and sow fear. And if you go along with it, pretty soon you're going to be a fearful person with a resident spirit of fear. We're telling you how to change that today. This is an exciting message. I love giving this message.
I know you do. There are things that come out of people's mouths, Darren, like, oh, I could never believe for that. Or I pray and God doesn't hear me. Or it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We've heard that so many times. I tried it and it just doesn't work. Well, that's our perception. That's actually our perception. And we're putting God in a box and we're saying, God, you need to do it my way. I need it right now. And God is saying, if you will listen to me, I will give you a greater reward and a greater result of your prayers if you will just trust me. It's getting us out of that front seat and getting God back in the front seat. And Darren, I don't know any better way than to begin to confess the word and begin to quote the word and get ourselves pliable in God's hands.
You know, one of the biggest parts of this teaching could be out of another chapter in Ezekiel, which is Ezekiel 14. And he said in the third verse, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Now, some of you need to stop and pray right now and say, God, if there's an idol that's keeping me from hearing your voice straight and understanding, that idol has to be removed and I can't do it on my own. Then I would pray like this. I'd say, Father God, first of all, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to help me understand what those idols might be in my life. Because I sense there's a filter process here. I read the word, but I don't get the full meaning on it. I think I hear your voice, but I don't know if it's your voice or if I'm on a party line and I'm hearing some other voices here. And I want the truth because the word says the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the greatest prayers you can pray is, God, reveal to me if I have any idols in my heart. Now, of course, it's fairly easy to see if you've idolized your career. You know, your whole life is who you are at the job, you know. I'm the manager, or I'm the vice president, or whatever. If that's an idol, you need to dethrone that. And ask God, he will tell you if there's idolatry in your heart, because he says, the idols are an abomination to me. You're making God angry by keeping those idols around, whether you realize it or not. So I would pray, say, God, if there are idols that keep me from understanding your word, I want them removed. Show me what they are. I'll pray in the name of Jesus against them, and I'll see the breath of life come and replace that with truth.
Yes.
Now, I've had to do that, and it really pays great dividends.
Well, we see in the very first part of Ezekiel 37, where God is showing Ezekiel that he is mere man. He's saying, Son of man, He's letting Ezekiel know that he's not infinite, he's not everlasting, he's not almighty, he's a man, he's a created being, he's a creation of God. And I believe it sets precedence for us, Darren, when we sense that there is something greater than us, bigger than us, that we aren't our own God. It really blesses me to know that when I get in a mess, that there's somebody greater and more powerful and more concerned about me than even I myself. And when I reach up to him and say, Father God, you've got to get me out of this, he really does. He really comes in his compassion and his mercy and help me out of my situation.
Well, it also says in Ezekiel 14, they will bear the punishment of their iniquity.
Oh,
if there's
yes.
iniquity, if there's sin in your life, and keeping an idol around is sin. Now, ladies, I want to say this to you. Some of you, it's your makeup. I know Barbara's looking at me askew here, but some people say, oh, I'd just die if I didn't have my makeup. I couldn't get my nails done every week. I'll pick on the ladies here. Now, gentlemen, it may be your car. You may spend the whole weekend out there monkeying with car. Is that an idol for you?
Or it might be your football games.
It might be.
Your hockey games.
Oh,
or your baseball games.
Now
or your basketball games.
Well, anyway, all of those might be idols in your life. Or it could be that every day you think night and day about the promotion that you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made goals for that. You made plans for that. You can see yourself in that. And that's okay up to a point. But if it becomes a consuming thing, almost an obsession, I think it's wrong.
Yes.
Whatever it is, outside of Jesus, outside of the Word, I believe that it's wrong. For example, if you decide to get up every morning, you just got to listen to the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock news or 8 o'clock news or whatever, you got to do that first thing in your day, I think you got your priorities messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to make it the Word of God first in your day if you call yourself a Christian, right?
Yes,
exactly.
That's right.
I mean, I feel very strongly about that. I know your first husband said, no word, no breakfast. Well, that's a great way to go. And I know when I discipline myself, no matter when I went to bed, to get up and spend some time in the Word, my whole day goes better.
Yes.
And I may not get something specific out of that chapter I'm reading or those chapters that I could say, well, this applies to today, but I am taking in the very vital energy of God out of that Word, and it changes my whole perspective.
It really does. Now, we know of other people in the Word of God, Darren, that had some really dead situations in their lives, and one of them was Abraham. God promised him some great things, and his body was dead, and so was Sarah's body. Also, we know that Jacob, he fled his home because of supplanting the birthright from his brother Esau, and we see that he went to his uncle Laban with nothing, zip. He had nothing, just the clothes on his back, and yet came out of that situation 20 years later with great and mighty riches. And during that time, he took one of God's creative hints, and he collected many more sheep than even his uncle Laban had, or now his father-in-law had. And he listened to God, and God's plan was supernatural and blessed Jacob. Also, we see Joseph. He listened to a vision of God. He interpreted a dream, and through that interpretation of the dream, where God gave him supernatural.
Well, they made him second in command.
Yes, but he gave him just supernatural intelligence at this point. And nobody in the land could interpret these dreams. And yet Joseph himself, who had been in a dungeon for 13 years, he came right out of that dungeon and interpreted the dream and became an absolute millionaire in less than 24 hours. These things are actual stories. I don't believe these are myths. I don't believe
they're legends.
No, they're actual stories of what happened to human beings, to men who believed in God.
Well, many of the archaeologists now are finding evidences of the Hebrew children being in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and even evidences of them going through the wilderness. That's there. They even found a chariot wheel at the bottom of the Red Sea. Guess where that came from?
That's right.
God covered the Egyptians by the mighty power that he'd given Moses to use. And here we look at Moses and read these stories, and God said at one time to Moses, stop crying around. I gave you that rod, now stick it out over the water.
Yes.
And he told him ahead of time what he was going to do. I just read that today.
Yes.
So exciting. He said, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to part the water. Your people are going to go across on dry land. And then the Egyptians are going to follow you. Then I will cause the water to go back and we'll drown them all.
Mm-hmm.
Now God told him ahead of time. In fact, if we go back there in the last part of Genesis, first part of Exodus, God told Moses exactly what he was going to do to the Egyptians.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to do these plagues, these mighty signs and wonders. I'm going to mock their gods. I'm going to raise you up as a mighty people.
Well, I believe God is telling his people today what he's going to do also. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God, in the Bible. We need to be reading these scriptures.
This is the end of this side.